CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We wrap up this week. We hope that you had a blessed week and looking forward to answering some questions with all of you today. We set this time aside every weekday afternoon, answering those questions as we read our Bible, come across things sometimes we don't understand. Someone's asked us a question. Well, that's why we like to make ourselves available to give you those good answers that you need to keep your friends satisfied. And again, our own hearts as well. If you got a question, that number to call again, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. And got some lines open, so you're sure to get on if you call right now. Joining me today, special guest, Brad Dacus from the Dacus Report, airs here on the Weekend Times. Brad's organization, PJI, Pacific Justice Institute, represents people like you and me against unfair laws and governances. And so, Brad from Pacific Justice Institute, hi and welcome.
Oh, it's great to be on the program, Pastor Mike. Thank you.
Blessing to be with you. And again, pji.org, especially if you have a legal question today, this will be a good time to ask because, again, get some free advice. Plus, Brad is also fairly well-studied Bible scholar as well. So we got some good stuff going on here today. We want to invite you to come and give us a call if you got a question for us. Again, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. We'll go ahead and get started. We have William on the line, Olympia, Washington. Hi, and welcome.
And how are we doing today, Pastor Mike?
Good. How can we help?
Yes, I have a very sensitive and kind of personal question for you. I'm a born-again believer for half of my lifetime now. And in the Olympia area, we have a couple of Lutheran churches that are very liberal. And I visited this one church, and of course, I won't mention any names or nothing like that. But one of them, we visited about probably 2 years ago, and it was a lady pastor, and she has a partner also. Her partner's from Olympia, from Tacoma, and we leave it that. So you know, we kind of like didn't like the feel of it at all. We visited only one time. Well, now, fast forward to about 2 years later, and now there's another Lutheran church. I will not name the name. But anyway, so what happened was we visited there a number of times. So they have a wonderful lady pastor. Her husband's with her, with you know, association with her in the church. They have beautiful services and love it. However, they're going to now be having a voting on an associate pastor. And we come to find out that they're going to be voting a meet and greet thing here pretty soon. It ends up being that the associate pastor, I will not mention any names, is a young fella, really well educated in seminary, things like that. And his partner is another man. They're pretty young. Now, I have a problem with that. This is kind of goes to the extreme, it seems to me, a slippery slope of all kinds. You know, and I feel right about it. And so what I wanted to know, I'm supportive of the church, you know, and tithing, I try to help like that and everything. But the point is, should it continue doing that? And should be supportive of a church like that, because it does not seem to be biblical and that it's wrong. And I just mixed feelings about it. But I would want to know what your take is, because you have been very wonderful in the past that I have asked questions from you and when I needed, you know, some answers. And you've been so good about it. So I'd like to hear what your take on it is, please.
Well, William, first of all, I just like to say that, you know, we as Christians were to mimic the life of Christ. And unfortunately, when we find these groups that have deviated from God's word, and they have, if you read Romans chapter 1, New Testament, this is after Jesus was born, died, rose from the dead, the early churches were established. Romans chapter 1 addresses this very topic. And really, we're to have nothing to do with people like that. Right. Because again, it's in violation of God's ordained plan for man and woman from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And again, he made his creation, made woman and man. God didn't make a mistake. God knows what he's doing. And so just because our culture of the day is literally antichrist doesn't mean that we, if we go to a church that is practicing things that are antichrist, we need to remain in them. First of all, I would not go to a church that supported this kind of behavior. Number two, in no way would I ever financially support it, because in financially supporting it, I'm saying amen to what they're doing, which Romans chapter 1 in the Bible strictly forbids. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I agree 100% with what you just said. And it's somewhat prophetic of the end times. We see this level of heresy that we've never seen in the church since it began. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's talking about in the last days perilous times will come. And then it goes on and says it's talking about all the evil that's coming into the church. And then it says, and from such people turn away in verse 5. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it also says in verse 3, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, including sexual, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, which is God's word, and be turned aside to fables. But it says, you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. So we just need to see this as what it is. This is something that we can expect to see in the last days. It's something that's been prophesied to be plaguing the church in times like where we're at now. And I think we need to take it very seriously. I agree 100%. I tell people out there, if they're attending a church that thinks killing preborn babies is fine, abortion is fine, or same-sex sexual relationship or any sexual relationship outside of marriage between a man and a woman, that's fine. That's heretical. That's outright heretical against the Word of God. You need to flee such church, flee such leadership. It is heretical. It's abominable. And I do want to say one little qualifier, and that is, you mentioned Lutheran churches. There are some outright heretical groups of Lutheran churches. Generally speaking, though, I will say if a church is Lutheran and it's Missouri Synod or Wisconsin Synod, they generally have a pretty good reputation of staying with Scripture and their traditional theology. But outside the Wisconsin Synod, the Missouri Synod, all bets are off, and you need to be very, very cautious.
So I hope that answers it for you, William, because again, we need to stand. You know, Jesus did condemn homosexuality. People say, oh, he never did. No, if you read the Bible, he did. In fact, one of the most shortest sermons in the world, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. That was all over God destroying the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, God telling his followers, Lot and his wife, his children, don't look back. And we remember that she turned and looked back, and God turned her into a pillar of salt. Now, why is this important? Because there's an outright move to change God's word. See, there was a time in which God's word changed, the Bible changed society. Now, we believe that it's society's job to change the Bible. Well, that isn't going to happen. And so I could never embrace, support, or even be associated with any group of people that are in the leadership position. Now, I've known people that are in the gay community. I've talked to them. I've invited them to church and all these kinds of things. I have nothing against that. But when it comes to leadership and those that are doing things exactly contrary to God's word, I have to reject that. And I would advise anyone, William, to do the same. Hope that helps.
Yes, it does. As difficult as it is, but it's the truth. The truth is sometimes very hard to accept. Because when you meet people like that, you know, and we call each other brothers, sisters, and we intend to worship God, But then when something like this comes along, it makes it very, very difficult. But we have to be true to the Lord and not to man. I thank you so much for your honest and truthful answers, both of you. God bless you.
Yes, go read Romans chapter 1. It'll give you the best outline. It'll only take you less than 3 minutes to read it, but it very clearly lays out God's position on this topic. It doesn't matter what organization, what church father, what priest, pope, whatever you might want to say, says that maybe these things are okay or whatever, the Bible says they are not. And like I've shared with everyone, the Bible, the anvil, has worn out many hammers. So William, say a line if you like, send you out some books and DVDs, and our friendly operators there might give you some ideas of some churches in the area you might want to attend that do not embrace those kinds of ideas. God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Joe, Washington State. Hi and welcome.
Hey.
Yes, how may we help?
Yeah, I was just curious about the two different genealogies, one in Matthew and one in Luke for Jesus. They, one of them has him coming from the Nathan, the son of David, and the other one has him coming from Solomon. I was just curious about that.
Yeah, and what we find here, we find in Matthew the lineage of Luke, the lineage of Joseph. And in the book of Luke, we find the lineage of Mary. Now, according to Hebrew law, a blood descendant can inherit the throne. An adopted child, which Jesus was to Joseph, could be considered a child in that he would have those rights. So therefore, you have the lineage of Joseph there in Matthew. And then when you get to the book of Luke, you have the blood lineage. So you have the legal right to the throne through Joseph, and you have the blood right through Mary as well. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I think that's very well said. And it's interesting because how perfect it is, how God laid it out. You know, it takes both to fulfill Jesus and what he came to do. And I think that that's really great how you have two separate gospels giving two separate vantage points, one through Joseph and one through Mary. And once again, it just goes and contributes all the more to the accuracy and legitimacy of Jesus and the special lineage that he had to fulfill, both parts that need to be fulfilled.
So I hope that answers it for you.
I think it does. It's just confusing. Because it says
no, you have to see something we have to remember. God's a very legal God. He gave us the Ten Commandments. I mean, that's the law, man. Now, of course, the law was never meant to justify man. It was meant to show us how much we needed a Savior, but God's a legal God. And so if Joseph and that lineage comes through the male side to the throne, you have to have that proof. And then you also have the proof that Jesus, that blood that, as the Bible tells us, is what cleanses our sins. We find that through the lineage of Mary. And so it shouldn't be confusing. It just simply is the lineage of both Joseph and Mary to prove that Jesus is who he said he was. Joe, stay online. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs if you like. Great to share with your friends. If you got any more questions, hey, we're here to answer them for you. Let's go to Alex, Jerome, Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Hi, I was wanting to ask a question about where are we currently in the Bible prophecy? Like, where are we at, like, in the timeline of the biblical prophecy?
Well, I believe that everything has been fulfilled literally. Now, they were looking for Jesus, the rapture of the church, back even when Paul was writing his letters. But now that we have a more understanding, we see nation of Israel again established just as Jesus said it would be in Luke chapter 21. Now, probably Luke 21 gives us the most close identity of the timing of all events. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus said that Jerusalem would be trodden down by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Jerusalem is now the capital of Israel. Jesus goes on to say in Luke 21 that the generation that sees these things, the rebirth of the nation of Israel, Jerusalem, its capital, will not pass away till all things are fulfilled. So I believe we're extremely close. Now, a couple of things. Number one, take God out of the picture altogether. Let's just say that the Bible didn't exist at all. Could we honestly say that we believe that man is getting close to the end of time, end of his age? I would say yes. And why is that? Again, I've shared this many times. Man is he's always used every weapon that he's ever invented. And when you look at the megaton atomic hydrogen neutron bombs that they have now, with the capability of destroying all life on this planet, even without God in the scenario, if you go to your computer, type in nuclear doomsday clock, it'll show you you're like 30 seconds before doomsday, midnight. Well, this tells me the Bible is true, because Jesus gave the signs, not just, well, atomic bombs, because that's not really there, but something much more intricate, the nation of Israel being controlled by the Gentiles. You see, up till 1948, Jerusalem was controlled by the Gentiles. But in 1948, the nation of Israel was born. They got the other half, the city of Jerusalem, in 1967. And then President Trump, in his first presidency, declared Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel, just exactly what the Bible said. And again, when you look at the odds of that happening, when Titus came in, a Roman general in 70 AD, because of the rebellion of the Jews, leveled the city of Jerusalem, burned it with fire. And even when Jesus said Jerusalem would be trodden down by the Gentiles till the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, it was under Gentile control. The Roman government is who controlled Jerusalem at that time, and subsequently destroyed 70 AD, and it laid waste for almost two millennia. And against impossible odds, Israel and Jerusalem stand today, still speaking Hebrew, and exactly what the Bible says. So I believe that we are extremely close to the rapture of the church. There is an event where the Bible says the Arab nations, coupled with Russia, Turkey, the Balkan states around the Baltic Sea, will come against Israel, Ethiopia, Libya in the last days to collect, to take a spoil. That has not yet happened, but I believe that could happen any day. Now, something important to remember, the rapture of the church does not start the tribulation period. So be very, very careful with this, because otherwise you can get tripped up. What starts the tribulation period, according to Daniel chapter 9, is this man signs a peace treaty with Israel for 1 week. That's a seven-year period of time. Thus, we get a seven-year tribulation period. That's where it comes from. And so because of that, the rapture could come this afternoon. It could go a couple of months. Russia, the Arab neighbors decide to attack Israel. God fights for Israel, destroys this coalition, confederation of nations. Then out of the ashes of this war, the man of peace could arise, the Antichrist, and the world will hail him as their Messiah. Israel, for a short period of time, will embrace him as their friend. But then we realize he turns on them halfway through the tribulation period, and this is what's called the abomination which makes desolate. So we're living in exciting times. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, there's so much pointing to that. You know, we mentioned earlier out of 2 Timothy and the prophecy of what would happen to the church, or those claiming to be a part of the church, the heresy That is happening at a very fast clip at historic levels. In addition to that, we see God pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. We see, in 5 years, it's projected that every nation, every people, every speaking group will have heard the gospel, which is incredible. And yet we also see the persecution of the church, which is also something in historic proportions that is also something we're going to see as we approach the last times, the last days. So there's a lot coming together. And then as far as the issue, as far as like annihilation, nuclear, some people will say, well, we've had the nuclear bomb for a long time. We haven't had nuclear war. What's going to prevent us from, you know, this could just go on another 100, 200, 1,000 years. We haven't used it yet. Well, the reason the nuclear war hasn't happened is because the United States has been the number one nuclear power. If that shifts, if, say, China gets the upper hand, they are a nation that will not blink and utilize nuclear war, nuclear weapons. The casualties are not the issue with China. It's the big picture of world conquest. So if they get the upper hand, all bets are off with regards to stability, with regards to nuclear weapons and nuclear holocaust. And that's why it's so important that we, as a nation, address the issue and not hide from it and face the reality, because China is projected to reach military superiority by the year 2035, so if not before. So these are some things to take into consideration. We are at a special time, and to me, it's not a time. It's not something that should make us to be fearful. If anything, it's something that should make us be all the more feel exhorted to be faithful with what God has given us in our own world, to live for him and to share Christ and be willing to disciple others.
Amen. I hope that answers the question for you. It looks like we might have lost you on that, but you're welcome to call back in, and we'll be glad to give you a couple books. And one book I'd like to give you is 101 Last Days Prophecies. I think you really enjoy that. And so if you'd like to call back, we'll get you fixed up. Let's go to Carolyn, Wyoming. Hi, Will.
Hi, Pastor Mike and Brad. I have a prayer request, and your awesome screener, Ryan, prayed for it. But I would like anybody listening that if they would pray, that would be great. Sure. My daughter was in a car accident today. She's just days away from 35, and she's got a bad back. She's got like a herniated disc. And so she got hit from behind, and so her back is bothering her. I know she went to the ER. I'm trying to talk her into getting checked over by a doctor, good too. But I would love prayer for her, for healing and just for wisdom and...
Yeah, what to do about this? It's very complicated, isn't it? Yeah, we will pray for Brad. Some advice here for her, and then we'll pray.
Yeah, I'm an attorney, so I have a different kind of perspective when I look at these situations. I know she's just now dealing with the accident. It just happened. That said, she definitely needs to have legal counsel. She should not sign anything the insurance company gives her with regards to damages. She needs to seek legal advice and counsel. Where are you located? What state? What state?
Wyoming. But my Wyoming. I have a sibling in Colorado too.
Okay. Well, we have affiliate attorneys on our website, pji.org. But I would strongly encourage you to look into that. And yeah, 35. That's tough to hear that she has this kind of a serious injury. It doesn't sound like it's just a soft tissue whiplash. It sounds much more serious than that. And so, she definitely is going to want to look at it from a legal perspective to help cover for her future costs, expenses, lost income, etc.
So, can I ask if it's okay? What's her first name?
Nicole.
Well, let's pray for Nicole right now. Yes. And those that are maybe listening to this saying, boy, I sure need someone to pray for me. We'll pray for you too. Father, we lift up Nicole to you, this car wreck. We just ask you that you would give the doctors wisdom in ascertaining the damage. Lord, we just ask you that you would extend your hand of healing to her and those that are listening that need a healing touch from you. And so we just come to you in Jesus' name. One who heals, would you please extend your hand of healing to your children, God, that need to be touched by you, to Nicole. Lord, give her mother comfort, wisdom in helping her navigate through this very tough time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And Carolyn, our prayers are with you, dear.
Thank you guys so much.
God bless you. Stay in line. I'll send you out a couple things that perhaps may encourage your daughter and you. So stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. And with that, we'll go to Vicki in Chehalis, Washington. Hi and welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much. So I have a question for Brad. I live in a small neighborhood. We have a lot of senior citizens, a lot of families with children. And Episcopal Church down the street wants to start a pilot program for 6 months where they allow women with children to stay in their cars in their parking lot, in the parking lot of the church. And they would be checked in at 7 in the evening and check out at 7 in the morning. From 7 to 10, there would be supervision, but nothing after 10 o'clock in the evening until 7 in the morning. We had a meeting at the church on Wednesday night, 2 days ago, and...
Vicki, we're coming up on a break. Don't lose that thought. You come back, we're going to pick it up from there. We'll be right back.
Did you know that every day Preborn's network of clinics experiences hundreds of miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds.
So when I came to my first visit and I had my sonogram and seeing the heartbeat, it really hit home that, oh my gosh, there's a miracle literally growing inside of my womb.
Because of you who donated to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn is able to offer women the blessing of life. Someday, you may meet a baby that you rescued, and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true people are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so... yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. Whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan that you're happy with, here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes, a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man Answer here on this Friday afternoon with Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. And when we went to the break, we were speaking with Vicki about some issues going on there in the parking lot. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, you know, I can see maybe some people in the community may not like the idea of having people park in the church parking lot like that. It's really up to the church if that's what they want. to allow. That church, though, needs to understand that they could have some liability issues come into play if they have monitoring it. They allow certain people. They, you know, they deal with that. And then if something happens, if there's an injury, if there's a liability that could, you know, that could come up, that's something a church may have to deal with. But I would say overall, churches should have that general freedom and liberty to be able to provide and emergency assistance for individuals. We've dealt with churches with homeless ministries before. We've defended them. But they need to understand that they still have to comply with and deal with issues of liability and potential injuries, etc. You know, they need to provide a place, a restroom, for example, for those people to be able to function. They can't set up a situation where they're violating health and safety codes by not providing something like that. So there's a need that church needs to be very careful and make sure that they're handling it correctly and responsibly and dealing with that. But as far as their ministry and they're actually what allowing for it, I think they would have a very good chance of prevailing on the grounds that this is a part of their church ministry and their calling. That's based on the limited amount what you told me. That's my assessment.
Vicki, I think there's a little bit more to it, though. So please tell us, is there anything else there?
Well, we had a meeting two nights ago, and there were about 75 of us there, plus a policeman and the city council and all. And we were all in the audience. And the rector said that she basically said that they're going to do it whether we like it or not. Very few were in favor of it, one or two. But most of the people are afraid for their children because these aren't just, you know, I mean, they're saying they're women with children, and which anybody would understand. But they, you know, with this situation, other people, are involved with it too. I mean, there can be ex-husbands, there can be abuse situation where men turn up, and there's going to be it's going to be from 10 o'clock at night to 7 in the morning where there's nobody there. And we just feel that it's going to attract a bad element. But she says that they're going to do it, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Well, I'll say this, that if the church is smart, they should put on security cameras and with clear signs stating that if the parking lot is all monitored with video cameras and only these people are going to be allowed, and make it very clear who's allowed and who's not allowed, and the consequences if anyone comes on the church parking lot that's not approved and it's not a mother with child approved by the church, that they will be reported to the police. I think that's a very basic thing that they should have. They could also have floodlights that come on when people
motion.
Are coming, motion detectors with floodlights that come on with people who are entering the place after a certain time. They also may want to require that individuals who are going to stay there have to be there by a certain time, 9:30 or 10. Just sort of set the rules, make it really clear, have security cameras. If it's fenced, they should, probably, lock it at 10 p.m. If they have it fenced. But these are, there's some liability issues that the church is assuming when they do this. So they need to be very cautious to make sure that it doesn't turn into something else, which is, I think, is what you're concerned about, and I can see why.
Yeah, I personally wouldn't allow that unless there was a night watchman.
Right.
Because you have to have eyes on. I don't know why anybody would be so insistent upon this, libeling your church to this level. Makes, to me, as a pastor, no sense whatsoever. I'm not saying there's not a need for it, But I'm saying if you're going to try to meet that need, then you need to put in steps to preserve the church. And that would be live monitoring, security on duty, those kinds of things. You can't have a bunch of women in a parking lot with no surveillance or nothing like that. I mean, the thought, as soon as that gets around town that a bunch of women are in your parking lot, you're going to have every derelict in town driving by. This is kind of not well thought through.
Right.
And I certainly think that the pastor needs to, you need to talk to the pastor about this, because personally, I think your church is libeling itself. I'm not saying it's not a great ministry, and I'm not saying there's not a need. But if you're going to do this, you have to put in place certain things to protect the very women that you're allowing to come on your property. And you just say, oh, well, there's nobody here from 10 to 2. Boy, that's going to get around. And so then the derelicts go, hey, between 10 and 7, there ain't nobody there. Let's go party. This is, unfortunately, I just believe, not very well thought through. And again, Jesus said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And the harmless of doves, taking care of people, I think that's a wonderful thing. Wise as serpents means there's still a lot of bad people in the world. And I think you better be aware of that. And I don't know why someone would libel their church like this.
Yeah, and I agree with you as far as the need for a security person there on the parking lot. If they're going to do something like this, they need to do it right. The church needs to be responsible. So I agree. I think that would be a part of the game plan. And I agree. It's definitely. Well,
and what about sanitation and bathrooms? Are you going to leave the church doors open all night? All has to be thrown through. What about water? What about just basic needs? Is the parking lot lit? Is it motion detected? Is it under camera surveillance? All this stuff. This doesn't sound like it was well thought through. I'm sorry, dear. That's my take. Vicki, I hope that helps.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you can't have a bunch of people there without sanitation facilities. I don't even think that's legal. I think you have to provide basic needs for people if you're going to operate a 24-hour crash pad. So something, Vicki, I think you really need to talk to him about. A lot of times people, they don't think through what they're wanting to do. So I think you've got logistics you have to look at. I think you have protection for the ladies or whoever it is that comes in your parking lot, for them not to be raped or something like that from passerbys. I think you have to look at the legal aspect of it. And for that matter, probably even county planning and zoning. I think you got to look at all these things, because you don't want to get fined for running a KOA campground on your church parking lot there. And again, not providing the necessary things. Vicki, if you need us, we're here for you, okay?
Thank you so much.
God bless you, dear. And if you need us, we're here. Just call us and say a line. We'll send you out some books and DVDs. I think you'll enjoy that. Let's go to Bruce, Kansas. Hi, welcome.
Yes. With Mother's Day coming up, I'm thinking of my mother, my daughter, my wife. And I'm also thinking of Rachel giving birth to Benjamin and dying in childbirth. Mm-hmm. And since she is the mother of Joseph, who wore that coat of many colors and kind of a miraculous or wonderful person, do you have any insight into why this is in the scriptures, why she died giving birth to Benjamin?
Well, again, many, many women did die during childbirth in the Bible. And when we look at oftentimes the medical care that was available in those days, it wasn't very good. And the Bible records that for us, I think, to remind us all that none of us are promised tomorrow. Now, again, when we look and we think sometimes, well, you know, this person did really good, so they're going to have a long life. And then even today, we find out that they have cancer and die. I believe that, again, when we die in faith, we go to be with the Lord. That's what the word promises. But we live in a fallen world, and we live with bodies that are broken, and we live with things that don't work right. And so I think this is just another picture of it, and that you think, well, look how good, you know, Abraham, you know, I'm going to make a great nation, and your sons, and now Jacob and his wife dying. I believe that a lot of times we think that people who love God are exempt from the tears of this life. Now, I don't believe anything happens to us by accident, but I do believe that the way we view it sometimes appears to be an accident, like Rachel dying. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, God works in mysterious ways. We don't always understand them. If we did understand everything, then that would probably be a false God. It'd be a human created God that addressed everything from human perspectives and understood things from human perspectives. Our God's not human, and we're not going to understand everything that happens. Sometimes it's going to be maybe frustrating for us, disappointing, but we need to live in faith, knowing that God is good about his promises, and he will never leave us or forsake us. He'll be with us to the end of the age, and when we die, we will be with him, and we can have that assurance and confidence. And sometimes our focus as humans is just here on this earth. So when we hear someone like dying early or dying young, to us, we look at this as a tragedy. But I think God looks at it as like, well, no, this is a train stop. And some people at the train stop will take an earlier train out to paradise, and some will take a later train out to paradise. But this is just a short little blip of time where we have to live for the Lord. And I think when we try to see things from more of an eternal perspective, it may make more sense. And I think this is just one example.
Yeah, I don't believe it was any repercussions of something that she did, like stealing her father's idols. We remember she did that. She sat on them when Laban came looking for them and all. I don't believe that was the case. I believe that she died. And I hope that helps, Bruce, because, you know, we look, and that's not just the only one. Look in the New Testament. Look at Stephen in the book of Acts, chapter 7, where this guy, one of the first, well, he was the first martyr, but here this young man serving God is taken out and stoned to death. You go, God, where's your righteousness here? Where's your fairness here? But God looks at things differently, and it's interesting what Stephen said, as I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And, you know, we know in the Bible it says he's seated at the right hand of the Father, but there he's standing. Many people believe welcoming the first martyr into heaven. And so I believe that, again, we see this in our world, and this is why heaven is a place promised to us where there is no sin, there is no death, no more dying, no more pain, no more tears. Bruce, hope that helps.
Oh, it sure does. Thanks a lot, guys.
God bless you. And thanks. And stay online if you like. Send you out some books, DVDs. Let's go to Helen in Arizona. Hi, welcome.
Hi there.
Hi, Helen.
You still there? Hi there.
Yes, we are. How may we help?
Okay. I just looked at your DVD that you sent, God of Wonders.
Yes. Yes.
And it's totally awesome, and I want to thank you for it. I mean, it's just totally awesome. Brought tears to my eyes, you know, with some of the things.
Well, thank you so much for the call and to say thank you. That's very nice of you. And I'm really glad you enjoyed that.
I hope anybody else who gets it enjoys it as much.
Well, be sure to share it with your friends. And if somebody steals it from you, I'll give you another one. How's that?
Okay. Well, I'm going to take it to church and see if they'll show it to the kids.
That'd be really good. Or show it to the whole church on a Sunday night or something would be really, really good as well.
Pastor Mike, what is she talking about? And can you describe God of Wonders, what it actually is, what it talks about?
Well, thank you, Brad, for asking that question, because for our radio audience, when people call in here and they ask a question, I always like to equip those that call with, I call them tools for evangelism. And sometimes it's very hard sometimes to talk to children, your kids, or kids to your parents. You don't tell me about God. I changed your diaper, kind of thing. Well, mom, watch this see if see what's wrong with this, or dad, look at this, or kids, watch this and tell me. It's an evangelistic tool to be able to reach people that sometimes are very hard to reach, or very close to you and difficult as well. So I like to give materials into people's hands so that they can better be a warrior for Jesus, And so what it is, God of Wonders, is how God made everything. What's inside the atom? What's beyond the stars? All these kinds of things are covered in this DVD. And it could not have just happened. This DVD really knocks the wheels off the bus concerning evolution, because randomness never produces order. So the Big Bang, and then all of a sudden we find all this order and intricacy, all these things of how everything works, the being the exact distance away from the sun so we didn't burn up or freeze up. All these things, it isn't by accident. It isn't, wow, pure luck. No, it's divine appointment. And so by looking at a video like this, you can show the person who views it, look, it's impossible for it all to just have happened. And if it all happened, who made it happen? And if there's a God that made this all happen, he made you happen, and for a reason. And then it goes into the salvation message, that you can spend eternity with him and be on this earth for the reason God put you on this earth for. So that's what it's about, Brad. It's really good, and a great opportunity for those who need more information. Helen, stay in line. I probably can scratch up another DVD there that you don't have. Send one out to you since you like them so much, okay?
One thing, I want to say one thing to Brad. Brad, just for an example, it takes a hummingbird and it basically takes it, shows it apart, shows it how its wings work, shows all, even the cells of its wings, and like a fish, it shows how the chambers work for it breathing, how it can breathe in underwater. It is totally amazing.
Oh, it's just, that's why I give it away. We buy those so that we can give those out, because I believe it's such a rebuttal to the myth of evolution that's out there. And so it's good to have good tools. I always tell people that when you're working on your car, you don't want to try to fix the whole thing with a screwdriver. Sometimes you need wrenches. And if you have good tools to reach out to somebody that doesn't know the Lord, sometimes maybe the reason they don't want to think about God is, well, I hold on to the idea of evolution. Well, watch this, and then you'll see that can't hang your hat on that pin anymore. Maybe Martians came, maybe UFOs, but evolution, gone. So anyway, dear, stay alive. We'll get you taken care of, okay, Helen?
Okay, we'll give Brad back. Give Brad one.
Yeah,
yes!
I'd love to have one, and I also, this follows up with Romans chapter 1, verse 20, where it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." That's how powerful the creation evidence is. And it's exciting that we have the science to really dig deep and appreciate it all the more.
Amen. Amen. How great is our God. Helen, stay in line. We'll see what we can fix you more up with. And with that, we'll go to Gregory in Cedar City, Utah. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, how may we help?
Yeah, a question for Brad. I had a BlockFi account, and I had like 0.6 of a Bitcoin and 4 Ethereum. Anyway, and a year ago, it's been about a year and a half, in December, they declared bankruptcy because of because of that Bankman-Fried guy who pulled out those scams. A lot of those wallets were, we didn't know it, but they were like helping each other out. And so that 125,000 I had turned into like 20,000, and maybe it's worth 16 now. And they didn't, you know, they made everything very cryptic, and they couldn't, you couldn't contact anybody, and you'll get your money back. And they just happened to skim 100,000 out of it. Is there anything I can do about that?
Well, I'm so sorry to hear of that situation. Yeah. There's so many scams out there. I wish I could give you a quick and easy answer on this, but I can't. I don't know of really where you go from here. You might want to contact the Securities Exchange Commission, maybe file a complaint with them. But, you know, they're probably already involved in this if it's what I think you're describing. So you also can get your private legal counsel, which they need to have expertise in this area, securities law, probably. But I'm so sorry to hear this, and I can't give you say any more than that based on my limited expertise. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I would say the idea of going to Securities and Exchange, filing a complaint, because they monitor this, and then also, if they've rattled away a lot of the profits under some fictitious name, they'll be able to help you find it. But I definitely believe you do need some help there in doing that. And there's so much scamming and cons going around right now, Brad, investment-wise and stuff. And even when you go and you read, you know, feedback on a lot of these organizations. Oh, they're great. They multiplied my money. They did this. Doesn't mean they'll be there next week. You know, right. I think it's kind of funny because there was a scam going around just real quick about health clubs. And, you know, it was, really nice new stuff. They'd go into an old defunct supermarket, and they have all this brand new weightlifting equipment, and I mean expensive stuff, and you could join it for like $80 a month, or for $700 you could get a lifetime membership. Well, a lot of people just went with a lifetime membership, and they go down there in a couple of months to go work out, paper on the windows of the thing, that building's cleared out. They moved all that beautiful equipment into another place where they're scamming people. Lifetime memberships are only good as long as they're around. And right. Sometimes we forget that, and we think, oh, lifetime, wow, I can go work out when I'm 75, you know. That's only if they're around. So something we have to be careful of. Gregory, I hope that helps, and may the Lord just give you a good directive there on that. You may talk to your local bank as well. They may be able to give you some directives on who to report it to, okay?
Is there a statute of limitations on that, Brad?
Yeah, I don't know what that would be. I would assume that there is a statute of limitations. There generally is, but I'm not sure.
So yeah, I just talked to the bank. They're still there. So
yeah,
hopefully. So I would go talk to them. Hope that helps.
Thanks a lot. God bless.
God bless you. And thanks so much for the call. Wish we could have helped more. Brad, we're almost out of time. We have Tommy and Teresa, the rest on the line. And if you can call us back on Monday, we'll do our very best to put you on. Brad, you got about 30 seconds here. Tell us how to contact you.
You bet. We have 36 offices coast to coast. We do all our work without charge. People need help, just go to pji.org, pji.org. They can support our ministry at that website and also get our free e-newsletter, The Legal Insider, pji.org.
And you can know that you got some help there. when you need it. And of course, you can always find CSN Radio anywhere in the world by going to csnradio.com, csnradio.com. Hit live audio streaming and you can pull us up anywhere. And if you can't get our station, but you used to be able to in an area, please call CSN and let us know, because maybe there's a problem there and we can fix that. Just pray you have a very blessed, safe weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. And until then, may the Lord keep you in his love. God bless you.
357-4226. Or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store, or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.